On today's episode of Locked On Oilers, what would a trade for Jacob Chychrun look like if the Edmonton Oilers were actually interested in the defenseman? That and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I am your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. As mentioned on today's episode, we are going to be talking about Jacob Chychrun, as there have been some reports saying that the Edmonton Oilers are interested in the defenseman. There have also been some conflicting reports also saying that they're not actively in conversation, so we will discuss that situation in just a little bit. Plus, later on in today's episode, we are going to talk about just how well the Edmonton Oilers have been drafting in the later rounds, and they are just now seeing the fruits of those labor develop, those labors develop into something special in Edmonton. We will talk about that. Plus, in our Oilers, Ghost of Oilers Past, our Ghost of Oilers Past today is one that is synonymous with collapsing. But that is in the game of golf, not in hockey. There is your clue for today's Ghost of Oilers Past. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Plus, today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and bets than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Where we are going to start off today, as mentioned, is those rumors that have been floating around the NHL the last 24 or so, 48 hours, that the Arizona Coyotes are now listening to trade offers again, and that the Edmonton Oilers are one of those teams interested in Jacob Chychrun. Now, Darren Dreger tweeted out saying that the Edmonton Oilers, the Ottawa Senators, the Los Angeles Kings, the St. Louis Blues, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and your mother, apparently, basically everybody in the free world is interested in Jacob Chychrun. There have been conflicting reports since then saying, Mark Spector tweeted out saying that the talks are not active right now. They are not in talks with Arizona, as Philip Broberg and Dylan Holloway's are, as Mark Spector put, non-starters. And Jesse Puljujärvi plus a first round pick is not enough for Arizona right now. Daniel Nugent-Bowman from The Athletic also chimed in saying that the Edmonton Oilers seem to be content, and from their team source, or from his team source, that they are content with their left side right now of Darnell Nurse, Brett Kulak, and Philip Broberg. Well, really, the mixture of whoever is going to fall into that left side. Dmitry Samarukov can also play on that side as well. He also is a left-handed defenseman too. So that is where we are currently sitting, a little bit of a standoff kind of in that regard for Jacob Chychrun. But Darren Dreger was on Ryan Rashog's podcast today, just kind of explaining a little bit more about the Chychrun situation. And as he mentioned, really what he's saying with those teams that are interested in Chychrun is that, yes, it sounds like the Arizona Coyotes are open again to making a move for Jacob Chychrun, or moving Jacob Chychrun in general. Now, those teams that I mentioned who are poking around Jacob Chychrun, that doesn't mean that yesterday they called Arizona and gave them an offer and said, "What do you think?" What they're really saying is that they're giving them a call and go, "Okay, so what do you think it'll take? You know, maybe that's a little too much. How about maybe something? What do you think about this player? What do you think about this addition? What do you think about this move? That, the other thing." They're just showing the interest, seeing what the selling point really is, what the price for Jacob Chychrun is. Go back to their scouts and their organization, go, "Okay, is it worth it? As Darren Dreger also said, let's just say in a hypothetical sense that Arizona all of a sudden likes a player in the Edmonton Oilers camp or Edmonton Oilers team and says, okay, what about this guy? And Ken Holland can go, okay, I can live with the Raphael Lavoie going the other way. That is what it is. I'm just using that as an example, but that's really what this is all about. It's just checking the interest in teams to see what could potentially be going the other way, what the other teams are open to doing. Are they willing to eat cap? Are they willing to eat a contract? What type of prospects are they interested in? That's really what this is about. Now, as well, on the same side, some of these teams are at different stages in that interest. Maybe the Edmonton Oilers are just maybe poking around where Columbus Blue Jackets may be a little bit more serious and willing to move a prospect and a pick and a roster player as well. The Edmonton Oilers, not so much. But let's have some fun with it. We wouldn't have a little bit of fun if we didn't have a little bit of fun. You know what I'm saying? What would the Edmonton Oilers backline look like with Jacob Chychrun? Because I was trying to figure it out, truly. I don't know. Here are three options that I came up with for the Edmonton Oilers defensive core with Jacob Chychrun in the lineup, and this is without any movement from any Oilers defensemen going back the other way. The first option I have for the Edmonton Oilers is Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci stay as the top pairing, and then Jacob Chychrun slots into the second pairing next to Evan Bouchard. Brett Kulak goes down to the third pairing with Tyson Barry, and Philip Broberg becomes the Oilers' seventh defenseman in that situation. Now, the thing with that situation for the Edmonton Oilers, are you comfortable with Chychrun and Evan Bouchard? Because Jacob Chychrun, yes, he's a very solid two-way defenseman. He's more known for his offensive side. Do you trust, obviously, two offensive-minded defensemen playing on that line, especially with Evan Bouchard still trying to figure out his transition game backwards, back into his own end? I'm concerned about that line getting caught at some point. Plus, then Philip Broberg, are you telling Philip Broberg that you weren't impressed enough with his camp that he's only worth seventh defenseman minutes? Are you willing to give Philip Broberg seventh defenseman minutes to give Jacob Chychrun more minutes and potentially stunt the development of Philip Broberg? That's an option there. The second option I have for the Edmonton Oilers defense is Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci stay as the top pairing once again. Brett Kulak and Evan Bouchard stay as the second pairing. Then you put Jacob Chychrun as the third defenseman with Tyson Barry on that side. And once again, Philip Broberg as the seventh defenseman. This one, again, kind of similar to the Bouch and Chychrun deal, with Chychrun and Barry being on the same line. Are you confident that one of them will not get caught? Are you confident in your own end with the two defensemen? That's where I'm kind of sitting as well. Are you willing to maybe put Darnell on a different line? Are you willing to put Ceci on a different line? Then do you put Jacob Chychrun on his off wing? And what's the situation there? Finally, for the Edmonton Oilers, this one is the maybe a little bit of the juggling of lines here, but I have Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci, once again, shocker, as the top pairing for the Edmonton Oilers. And then here's the juggling. Jacob Chychrun along with Brett Kulak, Evan Bouchard with Tyson Barry, and Philip Broberg as that seventh defenseman once again. Now, where we have Chychrun with Kulak here, Kulak can play both sides of the defensive side, I guess. This would kind of neutralize that what if with Jacob Chychrun with his offensive end, with the I don't want to say shakiness because that would be me putting in false fear into people with his defensive efforts, but just more of a what if he can't get back type deal. His sturdiness defensively is that there. That would allow the Edmonton Oilers to sit there and go, okay, him with Brett Kulak, who's a fantastic two-way defenseman, a fantastic defensive defenseman who works amazing hockey in his own end, would really neutralize, again, that unsurety. But at the same time, I don't think that's a word, but at the same time, that third pairing of Bush and Barry, are you comfortable with that pairing? Because I wouldn't be. Those are two exact same defensemen. And at times last year, the Edmonton Oilers tried it, and it didn't work. So if the Edmonton Oilers were to make a move for Jacob Chychrun, would it really make the Edmonton Oilers any better? I don't know. I don't think so. But you tell me, what do you think? What do you think the Edmonton Oilers could do with Jacob Chychrun if he was sent to the Edmonton Oilers? Let me know down below in our comments. You can also let me know on Twitter as well, at Locked On Oilers there. We are going to move into the late round successes from the Edmonton Oilers, as most of them, if not honestly, all of them are on the back end. Actually, all four of them are defensemen. Again, speaking to that depth the Edmonton Oilers have defensively. We will talk about those defensemen in just a second, but first, I want to tell you about our partners over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for football betting this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game you can find. As always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sport wagering information, with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. It is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including NHL, MLB, NBA, MMA, boxing, golf. Hey, don't forget, the MLB playoffs are right around the corner, so that is some fun times with these lines coming up. Head to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Where we are going to continue today, as mentioned, is the late round success that the Edmonton Oilers have seemingly found in their drafting in recent years. If you've been an Edmonton Oilers fan since really the last regime, even the Steve, let's just say the Tambellini era, that was a dark time for the Edmonton Oilers and drafting players. I mean, it was tough to miss on that first round pick. And after that, it was just, I'm talking about Cameron Abney. I'm talking Kyle Bigos, Troy Hesketh. Where else can we even go from here? There have been awful, 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 awful draft picks made by the Mitch Moraz. And these are all players that I don't even know if I could call them fantastic in their time, but it was just not great from the Edmonton Oilers for a very long time. And now you're starting to see some Edmonton Oilers late draft picks start to come up into the NHL. I mean, just look at Marcus Niemelainen last season, playing in his first 20 games in the NHL, and he was drafted the same year as Connor McDavid. He was, I believe, a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick for the Edmonton Oilers, if I'm not mistaken, in that year. And now you're starting to see more and more and more and more of those players following suit of Marcus Niemelainen. Just today, Maximus Wanner signed as ELC for the Edmonton Oilers, and he was selected in the seventh round of the 2021 draft, 212th overall. He signed his ELC today. At times, he was trusted to play on the top pairing with Darnell Nurse when Cody Ceci was out. He was the top pairing with the Edmonton Oilers' best number one prospect, depending on who you ask, in Philip Broberg at the Penticton Rookie Young Stars Tournament. And this was a guy selected in the seventh round and was playing midget hockey just two seasons ago. Now he's facing the likes of Connor McDavid, and now that he's going back to the WHL this year and going to be a very important part of a Moose Jaw Warrior team in the WHL, he's going to be playing against Connor Bedard quite often. The Edmonton Oilers have really got something interesting in Maximus Wanner. Almost called him Maximus Wander. Almost gave him something interesting the Edmonton Oilers did in this past season for the Moose Jaw Warriors. 55 games played for the Warriors last year. 6 goals, 17 assists, 23 points. That is his first really full season in the WHL, as the season before that he played was that COVID year, so they didn't get a full season. It was just kind of like a bubble, and they played in empty arenas. But in his first full season in the WHL, 23 points, 55 in 55 games, and had 53 penalty minutes. The interesting thing about the WHL is they don't count those game misconducts as penalty minutes. They just count the penalties that you get in a game as penalty minutes. So he is a big kid figuring out his body and is really taking advantage of being a bigger guy. The thing about Max Wanner is, however, is that if you saw him at the scrimmage, he got nailed by Connor McDavid from behind. I don't want to say from behind. It makes it sound like it was a dirty play. It was more in the back hip type area. He went into the boards. It was a nice hit, and honestly. But he's going to have to learn, playing within the NHL, that these guys are going to be just as big as him and going to be a little stronger than those guys in the dub. But again, signed his entry-level contract today, had a very, very, very impressive camp. A lot of people within the Oilers organization are very impressed with Max Wanner. But this seems to be a trend in the Edmonton Oilers organization. In 2018, the Edmonton Oilers selected in the sixth round, 164th overall, a defenseman going into college named Michael Kesselring. Michael Kesselring is still at the Edmonton Oilers camp right now. He hasn't been quote-unquote cut yet. He will spend the season in Bakersfield again this season and be a very important part of that defense for Coach Chalk in Bakersfield, as he has been in the Edmonton Oilers organization for the last couple of years, just now starting to get into the professional feel, and he has really been praised for his play the last couple of games. Some people calling his play raw, but you see why the Edmonton Oilers like him, and that is why he is going to be spending the next season in Bakersfield. Yes, he may be a very good defenseman. He may be very good as a player, but he's still raw. He needs to develop into a professional defenseman, and he's just right there in doing so. The interesting thing about Michael Kesselring as well is that he's 6'4", 6'5". And over 200 pounds, near maybe 190, depending on where you find his bio. Because Hockey DB Elite Prospects, the Edmonton Oilers have all had different stuff, but he's still a big boy. You recognize Michael Kesselring when he's out on the ice. And he really, really lets people know when he's on the ice. If I'm going to be honest, the guy who goes hand in hand with Michael Kesselring in my mind in the Oilers organization is a guy they drafted just a year before in 2017 in the seventh round, 208th overall, and that is Philip Kemp. Phil Kemp is a guy who is just as big as Michael Kesselring and is just as facilitative as Michael Kesselring. He is also still at camp and will also be a very important part for Coach Chalk down in Bakersfield on that defensive core. But both Michael Kesselring and Phil Kemp have stayed in the Edmonton Oilers camp for this long, have impressed people not only outside of the organization, but in the organization as well. These guys are coming in as veterans to the young guys and those guys who are probably going to be playing in Bakersfield and have really took that opportunity and ran with it. You could potentially see Michael Kesselring and Phil Kemp in the NHL this year later on down the road, depending on how they play in Bakersfield this year, depending on the injuries that the Edmonton Oilers incur over the season. But these guys were drafted in 2018, 2017. Those are 5 and 6 years ago. Well, 5 and 4 years ago. You can tell how good I am at math. But 6th and 7th round draft picks. The Edmonton Oilers haven't had guys like this in the organization for a very, very, very long time. Another guy who the Edmonton Oilers organization is salivating over, which makes sense because the kid's 6'7", 230 pounds, is Vinny Desharnais, who was selected in the 7th round, 183rd overall, in 2016. Yes, Marcus Niemelainen, was drafted in the later rounds in 2015. Vinny Desharnais in the 7th round in 2016. Phil Kemp in the 7th round in 2017. Michael Kesselring in the 6th round in 2018. And Max Wanner in the 7th round of 2021. These are all guys who down the road and very soon could be on the Edmonton Oilers. And they weren't drafted in the first round. They weren't drafted in the second round. They weren't drafted in the third round. Hell, they weren't drafted in the fourth round. Hell, they weren't drafted in the fifth round. They were drafted in the 6th and 7th round of the NHL draft. And the Edmonton Oilers have been able to find players who will contribute to the team down the road. That is impressive. That is what this regime has done for the organization, because all those guys, other than Max Wanner, who will down the road, have been very successful at the AHL level in Bakersfield, have played under Jay Woodcroft for numerous years, under Dave Manson for numerous years. These guys know what those guys can bring. And that's what's exciting about it as well. The guys who run the team know what talent they have in the organization. So you're not going to have to go, oh, well, maybe this guy will do something and trade for him from another organization. Just go, oh, well, a couple years down the road, we lost another trade. I'm not going to say this Nils Lundqvist trade is going to be something like that for the Dallas Stars and the New York Rangers, but the Dallas Stars gave up a first-round pick for a prospect that they have no idea about. What does that tell you about their organization inside and their defensemen within their organization as well? They have no trust in them. They don't know what they have. The Edmonton Oilers from 6th and 7th round draft picks go, these guys can contribute to this team. And very soon they might. That sounds like a little bit of a rant, but that's exciting for a team that basically had first round picks and the rest of them just went pfft. But that's how you build a successful organization, and that's what the Edmonton Oilers are getting right now. Speaking of draft picks, speaking of some of those very difficult draft picks. We are going to talk about another one of those draft picks in our Ghost of Oilers Past right after this. I just want to thank you for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, make sure you tune in to Locked On NHL, where Locked On experts give you a daily 30-minute podcast on all things NHL all year long. Stay up to date on everything in the hockey world with Locked On NHL, your daily 30-minute NHL podcast. As I bring out my notes for the Ghost of Oilers Past, look, I have two of these today for their Ghost of Oilers Passes. This one's an interesting one. Back in 2005, the Edmonton Oilers had the 97th overall pick in the fourth round. And with that pick, the Edmonton Oilers selected from the Lincoln Stars of the USHL, Chris Vandevelde. Yes, the Edmonton Oilers selected Chris Vandevelde in 2005 at 97th overall, excuse me. The Edmonton Oilers, I don't want to say it wasn't a fantastic pick. It wasn't a fantastic pick. I didn't want to say it was a bad pick. As Chris Vandevelde did go on to have a pretty decent, respectable ish NHL career. But it wasn't with the Edmonton Oilers. Let's just say that. As after he was drafted in 2005 by the Edmonton Oilers, Chris Vandevelde spent one more season with Lincoln in the USHL before heading to the University of South Dakota. Yes, one of the best programs in college hockey. I remember a lot of hype. Maybe not a lot is a big word, maybe, for Chris Vandevelde. But there was hype for Chris Vandevelde coming out of college. One of those college free agents that he was going to come back to the Edmonton Oilers or the team that drafted him. And those expectations didn't really go to plan. He was up and down with the Edmonton Oilers and the OKC Barons in between 2010 and 2013. Basically up and down between Edmonton and Bakersfield in 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013. And playing the most amount of games, he played the most amount of games in his first season as an Edmonton Oiler. But the second most amount of games as an Edmonton Oiler in 2012-2013. Now, the most amount of games that he has played for the Edmonton Oilers in one season was in 2010-2011, where he played 12 games, scored no goals, had two assists, which was actually a career high as an Edmonton Oiler, and had 12 penalty minutes in that time. As an Edmonton Oiler, 28 games played, one goal, two assists, which came in his second year, his first goal came in his second year as an NHLer in Edmonton, and 3 points as an Edmonton Oiler. He finished his Oiler career with 18 penalty minutes and was a career minus seven, which, to be honest with you, back in those days, who wasn't a career minus if you played for the Edmonton Oilers? To be honest, minus seven was pretty respectable back then. But after 2012-2013, Chris Vandevelde went to the Philadelphia Flyers on a PTO. He was a professional tryout for the Philadelphia Flyers. Now, he didn't actually make the team at that time, but he did go on to get an amateur deal. He got an AHL contract with the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. From there, he ended up earning a professional contract and ended up playing 72 games for the Philadelphia Flyers in 2014-2015, then 79 games after signing a two-year deal with the Flyers in 2015-2016, and then 81 games for the Flyers in 2016-2017. Now, the funny thing is I was trying to find a little bit of what Chris Van Velde is up to today. Unfortunately, I couldn't find what he's up to. I put in my notes, what is he doing now? And I put, no one knows. He's just living, he's just being a human being. But the funny thing is when I went on Twitter to go find anything about Chris Van Velde over the last year or so, really, it's all just been people going, remember when Chris Van Velde used to play on the first line with Claude Giroux or Sean Couturier? He's a little bit of one of those players where people are like, oh, it's Chris Van Velde. Basically, like the Ty Ratty of the Edmonton Oilers, that type of deal. But after his last season in the NHL or with the Philadelphia Flyers, he did get a PTO in Ottawa. Unfortunately, he did not sign with the Senators. He went to Finland that season and played for Luka Riono or Rihanna. I probably am butchering that name already. Spent a season there, and then his final year in 2018-2019 in Austria with Salzburg EC. That is where he called it a career in 2018-2019. Since then, not a lot has come up on Chris Van Velde. Now, I remember him getting drafted by the Edmonton Oilers. I remember him being in the Oilers organization. And the thing about Chris Van Velde is yes, it's pronounced Van Velde. He wanted to make that very clear from the start, so people didn't think he was related to the Van Velde of the Gulf disaster, where they collapsed in the final round and lost by a stroke in a playoff. He didn't want to be known as that guy. But no, Chris Van Velde, weirdly enough, though, is now known for the guy who played with Claude Giroux on really bad Philadelphia Flyers team. So you can't have it all, I guess. He almost got away with it, but yeah, not quite. Either way, your ghost of Oilers past right there, Chris Van Velde. Thank you so much for tuning in today, everybody, as it is Friday. It's Friday, and then it's Saturday, Sunday. What? We will call it there. After this, we have only a few more games until the start of the season, and our next episode will come in October. How about that? It's already October. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Stay safe and play La Bamba, baby.